And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, September 22nd, 2018. It's Season 12, Episode 34. I'm Scott.
I'm Matt.
Welcome to the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, RJ is not here, by the way. He's in Atlanta.
He's in Atlanta. Yeah, Atlanta.
He's at Anime Weekend Atlanta, I think. Is that what it is?
AWA.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can also find us on Facebook as well. Same place. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We're streaming right now on Twitch. You can go to twitch.tv, and you can, in a little search bar, you can type in InGameChat. You'll be able to find us there. Again, just go to ingamechat.net. There's a whole block of links that will direct you in numerous ways to get in touch with us should you need to, as well as watch us on Twitch. So you can join in the chat room live while we broadcast. So welcome to the show. We have a lot to catch up on because we did not get anywhere.
No.
Last week was just nothing but talk about PAX. So I moved over all the news that I had lined up for last week and I put it on over.
And there's more news to add.
And then there's a lot more just stuff that even happened just yesterday.
Yes.
That we will get to. But right now, I want to introduce two people who are in the studio with us. And In-Game Chat has a new sponsor. And you will hear us talk more about these guys every day now. Or at least every episode now. But Quality Comics from here in Montgomery is sponsoring the show. In fact, they're actually sponsoring the music. So you just heard music there. You'll hear music as we go into breaks, music when we come out. And they're sponsoring that. They've also set it up so that we can do a contest now. We'll give away a $10 gift certificate to the store, the shop. And we can do that by turning that whole thing that we play with my music selections and stuff actually into a game this time. But I want to introduce to you Brent and Lee from Quality Comics. Hey, guys.
Howdy, y'all.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Wow, that was really southern of me.
That was you?
Yeah, that was me with a howdy, y'all.
Oh, okay.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, we don't really have them on camera. They're not going to be here the entire show. And so, you know, but they're just sitting right in front of me. Lee is in RJ's chair. And Brent is in the empty spot there next to Matt.
Yeah.
So, but they are located at 500 Eastern Boulevard here in Montgomery. It is the South's largest vintage comic dealer, and you can find them at QualityComics.com, comics with an X, C-O-M-I-X. And you can also find them on Facebook at Montgomery Quality Comics as well. But Brent and Lee, thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for being sponsors.
We're glad to be here. Before we get started with talking about the shop, I had something I brought for Matt. Of course, you know, I brought something for you, and we've got something planned for RJ. So if it's all right, I'll
get
those.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right.
It's a trap.
It's not a trap.
Pass this over.
What?
Oh, look at that.
What in the what?
What is that?
And at number two.
Oh, wow.
Two presents are better than one.
What is this?
Not going with
that. Sure. It's the old, sweet. Oh, okay. Hold on, let me hold up for the camera.
Yeah,
we'll
sure.
Start off with, you know.
Well, you guys tell us what are these things? What are these?
These are...
I mean, I know what this says they are, but tell us about them.
They're the
them.
Masterpiece editions. Of course, James Tiberius Kirk. Limited, I'm not sure that they're numbered, but they're limited edition. Of course, we know Matt is a huge sci-fi fan.
I am.
And then we had to follow up with his second Jean-Luc Picard, of course.
To which I'm sure I will upset half the population by saying, my favorite captain right here.
Mm. There's nothing wrong with that.
Kirk
was a very serious captain.
Kirk could, you know, suck it for all
that. I'm not going to go that far now.
I mean, he was all right, but no, I am always been more of a Jean-Luc fan.
You got it. Says Tim Fuller, since you got Barbie Kirk.
Of course, you know, that was our era growing up, too. So.
You got Barbie Kirk and Picard.
Heck yeah, Barbie Kirk and Picard. This is awesome.
I'll be honest. I think I was more of a Deanna Troi fan.
Well, yeah. No, this is amazing. I'm, you know, yes, I'm wearing my Star Wars shirt, but I have also always been a lifelong Star Trek fan and everything, so much that one of the games I play, Elite Dangerous, it's like space, you know, simulator. I have William Shatner's voice. You know, he does, like, I have a program where he, like, does voice in it.
Right.
Like, for an AI, I have him, Brett Spiner, and Deanna Troi, right. Marina Sirtis. So,
awesome.
Yeah, no, this is amazing. Thank you so much. This is awesome.
Very welcome. I knew you'd
And it has the
enjoy.
Different captains, including Pike. Oh, he doesn't get enough credit.
No, he doesn't.
You know?
What do you think of the current Star Wars movies?
Personally?
The Star Trek.
Oh, current Star Trek movies?
Yeah. We're not even going to talk about Last Jedi.
I like Last Jedi.
Oh, come on. Leia Poppins, seriously?
Yeah, well, yeah.
No.
Yeah. What? Oh, so, like, Luke could just, like, you know, wave his hand and grab a lightsaber, but, you know,
well, no, I mean,
she has the
Luke
Force,
Luke was egregious, too. I mean, Luke was this death
she
fight
is
from across
progeny
the galaxy.
Of a dude that was created by the Force.
But still,
created.
Why did it have to be Leia Poppins?
Because the Force takes over. She is like, no, I am not going to die out here. I have more to do. You know what? I liked it. I like the prequels. You know? I like the entire saga. I've made my peace with Jar Jar Binks.
Oh.
I know.
My only regret with that is that he wasn't the one in the fire with Vader, but that's a whole other story.
You know, I used to be like just so much vitriolic hatred towards that character and somewhat by extension the actor. And then like as I've grown up and gotten older and like realized, man, they're just kids' movies and I love
that's
them.
That's true.
You know, I'm like, I can let go of that. And then, like, when I found out that the actor, Ahmed Best, was, like, you know, suicidal at one point and everything.
Yeah,
that
that's horrible.
That made me feel bad because, like, I was a part of that.
It's like all this Rose stuff, really?
Yeah, exactly. God. Like, it's just a movie, dude. Either like it or don't. I mean, yeah, there are parts about it that whatever. There are parts about it that I really enjoy. But, you know, at the end of the day.
The actor thing's not me now. It's just some of the storylines that are so
It's just a movie.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There's so much more things out there that deserve our, you know, attention
That's
or
true.
Anger or whatever, then just, like, if you can't just spend that, you know, couple hours and just be entertained. But also, like, I like dumb movies, too. I like high art movies. I like stories. But, no, I do like The Last Jedi. I do like Solo. I like them all. As far as the Star Trek movies, I'm kind of upset that it looks like Chris Pine is going to be out.
I know.
That's... So... Huh.
I'm like, we were just really getting into them. You know,
I know.
Three movies in, I was like, where's the next three? Come on.
The Star Trek Beyond was interesting. I personally, I'm kind of like always
Which one is Star Trek Beyond?
That's the last one that came out.
Oh, okay. I was thinking if that was the Discovery, the other show.
No, the Discovery.
Where they had the breakup and crash.
I'm always heartbroken when I see the Enterprise blow up.
Oh, man.
I've loved that ship ever since I was a kid. I like all kinds of different spaceships, but like the Enterprise will always have like that special. It's like the Millennium Falcon, right? If they
That's
ever just like
too, right?
if they blew up the Millennium Falcon, I wouldn't know what to do with myself. It'd be like a death of my family kind of a thing.
That's me. NCC-1701D and the Falcon are just untouchable.
See, I'm a B person.
Are you?
Oh man, the Excelsior class is my favorite.
I love
but
it.
Like, you know, when the first one went down in Star Trek 3, and I was just like,
tough,
but then they, you know, they retrofitted, I think Yorktown, to be, you know, to be the A, you know.
Right.
Then I'm like, okay, that's cool. But like every iteration, whenever they blow up an Enterprise, part of me just like dies inside. And so even with the
it
new
just feels wrong.
J.J. Abrams one, you know, just watching the saucer just like crash, and I'm just like crying
brutal.
In the theater.
So brutal.
I know. I'm like, oh, why? Kill the characters. I don't care. Why the ship?
The Wrath of Khan moment when I was a kid. I was watching that
wow.
at the theater
yeah.
with my cousin who idolized, and I was literally just bawling.
Even like watching Reliant get blown up. I was like, oh, that's a neat ship design. I really like how it looks. And
right.
the Yeah, that it's just so sad.
A lot going on the spaceship front.
Oh, I love spaceships. I always have. Star Trek Discovery... I tried to get into it, and to me it didn't feel Star Trek-y.
Right.
Star Trek's always been about, like, the optimism, you know, of humanity and the future. You know, Star Wars is more, to me, grounded in realism. You know,
right.
things are dirty, things
to
are
To me it felt more Galactica.
Whatever. Yeah.
Kind of antiseptic, but also kind of
It didn't have that optimism to it.
Right.
It was more, like, angsty, blah, you know, and yep. then, like, when they started cursing in it, like, more than, like, they dropped the F-bomb. And I'm just like, that's not...
Yeah, where's Utopia? It's not here.
Yeah, to me, that's not Star Trek. That's,
no,
I'm like,
wasn't.
I was like, ooh, this feels bad. I don't know. Maybe I should, you know, give it another shot. I don't know. But
maybe it's an
I hear Jean-Luc's
thing.
Coming back. Maybe. I mean, because, like, I'm an older... Like I said, I grew up watching Next Generation. I mean, I think we're all kind of roughly the same age
nothing
in
wrong
here.
Nothing wrong with not cursing. I mean,
yeah.
you have to curse.
Yeah, so. But, I mean... Yeah, even like, because I started rewatching Next Generation and some of those episodes, like, especially the first three seasons are
amazing.
You just
I watched the first episode of Next Gen last night, actually,
let's,
Q
let's,
and all that.
Oh, gosh, that
so
was so
good.
Bad. Encounter at Farpoint.
Yes.
Oh, it's rough.
Still, though.
You just, all right, it gets better. Then it gets worse again towards the end, but whatever.
It does take you back to 1987, whether you want to go or not.
back in, middle school and, running home and, at nighttime and watching this stuff.
Oh,
and,
man, that was it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But so, thank you, guys. This is awesome.
You're welcome.
So now to talk about the shop.
Yes.
What shop was that?
You get me rambling, man. I'll just keep going.
Yeah. Not me. I wasn't involved with that.
So tell us about Quality Comics, how it started and where it is now, that sort of thing. If you're not too nervous.
Yeah, pretty nervous.
Oh, no.
Don't be nervous.
It's just us five in here.
We're all among friends here, right?
27.
Yeah. Don't be nervous.
All right. So, Quality Comics basically started out of my house. Maybe 10 or 15 years ago, 15 years ago or so, I was selling vintage comics online on a little website I had, then decided to open up a brick and mortar in Prattville, and eventually bought out a store in Montgomery and consolidated it. Mm-hmm. And that was about 5 years ago. Then we moved the store from a little 900 square foot location in Montgomery to our current location, which is about 2,500 square feet in the front. We still sell our comics online in the back, and we've expanded our offerings to – we can sell baseball cards and Magic the Gathering cards and toys and Pokemon and everything.
Yeah. Old friend of mine who I'd known from the other store from long time ago, Jason, who works over there now.
Jason's incredible.
Great guy. He's our store manager.
I mean, that's going a long way back, maybe even before I even started working in radio, I think. I've known Jason.
Really?
I've known him for a very, very long time.
I wonder if I know him. Like I said, Montgomery's a small town.
You would if you – over at over the old Comics and Cards Trading Post, which is over by across the street from, Rave, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess it was next door at the time when after he switched, it was next to Mama Goldberg's and place.
Oh, yeah. Summer's Place.
Summer's Place. That's what I was thinking about.
Yep.
Yeah, I've been in there several times.
Yeah.
Well, the old store.
Jason, the great thing about Jason was the continuity that he has with the shop is if you come in, if you're an old comic shop visitor, or if you're an old comic collector, you want to get in the new stuff, whatever, he can take you back, forward, wherever you want to go with it. So it's awesome to have a resource like that.
Oh, yeah.
That people can go to and they trust and they know. They say, well, it's Jason Barnes. We know him. We trust him. So it's awesome.
Yeah. So I took a little visit to the store this past week. It is massive and gigantic. And then the back of the store is massive and gigantic with stuff as well.
Nice.
Tons and tons of – I saw plenty of Star Wars stuff. I know. Yeah. Thought about you. plenty of Star Wars stuff. Tons of comics. And you can kind of get an idea of all of this at their website. If you go to Quality Comics, that's with an X, .com, you can see a lot of, what they have on offer there. Their Facebook page shows a ton of just, just kind of everyday life, I guess, at the comic shop type situation of what's going on. And advertisements for the for upcoming events that they've got going on as well. You're about to hit your 1 year anniversary, I think, next month.
We are. We have a celebration planned. It's October the 12th. We've got the Rick and Morty bus coming between 4 and 5 that evening, and they'll be there till 8 o'clock. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to have some exclusive merchandise, Rick and Morty merchandise. We're going to have 50% off all of our in-store stock back issues. So if you're a back issue collector, that's the time to come. We've got 10% off all of our toys, 10% off all of our sports cards, all the loose singles. That includes everything from McFarlane figures to Marvel Selects to Walking Dead to whatever, and that's going to be also Walking Dead week, I think, October 13th.
That does come back on this in October, right. You're right.
So we've got, some Walking Dead merchandise, and, it's going to be it's a really big thing for us. It's a, like I say, year in the new location. It's something that Brent has built. He's really proud of. He likes sharing with the community, being part of the community, and bringing there's so much going on in the world today. We've got fun stuff. Come have fun.
Yeah.
That's what we want.
We need more of that.
Yeah. Brent wants people coming and smiling, leaving smiling. It's not just about the merchandise. It's about the community. Just like Matt and I talking about spaceships, or you and I talking about Silver Surfer. How old was that book you held the other day? 40 years old? 50 years old?
Something like that, yeah. I was holding on to some really old books. Books from the 40s. Comic books from the 40s.
One of them was pre-code Batman. Batman is holding a Gatling gun, firing it while Robin's feeding it with a belt of ammunition. This was like early Batman before he was censored.
Really, really old.
You can find stuff there you can't find anywhere else. And if we don't have something, Brent has so many connections that he can go find it.
I love, like, those old DuckTales in the old Disney.
Oh, the old comics? Yeah. The old car blocks?
Cause I remember, yeah.
Parks comics? Yeah.
I remember growing up, you know, as a young buck and living in Germany. Like
They
know,
weren't
like,
DuckTales. They were called, what?
But it was like Scrooge McDuck.
Scrooge McDuck,
and,
yeah.
Right. But, like, you know, my grandparents would, like, send us some comics and everything because, you know, I lived in Germany when I was a kid. And so, you know, if I go to the comic book store there, I'd not reading German that well. So, like, my grandma would send me some stuff, and, like, they lived out in Anaheim and right close to Disney. And so, like, right. We always get Disney stuff. And I just remember, like, you know, that art style and everything. That's what I like about the new Disney cartoon, the DuckTales cartoon, mm-hmm. is in that sort of art style of the original Scrooge McDuck and, you know, the old school, you know, Disney art style.
Got those episodes. I haven't watched any of them.
It's kind of funny.
They're amazing.
I mean, I watched the little opening movie thing.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen anything.
Oh, they're amazing.
He bought a collection, I guess, last year sometime, and we've still got a lot of the modern stuff left. And, I mean, there's probably 20,000 books. And we're moving it around, and he said, well, what is this box? He pulls it out of a corner. You know, we look at it, it's nothing but Disney comics from the 90s.
Oh, wow.
He's like, oh, it's 90s Disney comics.
Nice.
I think we found us a customer, Brent.
So I'm just curious about, from your guys', I guess, insider business perspective, to me as an outsider, it seems like almost a comic book renaissance, like a revival that, you know, people are getting into comics. Because I know, like, trends come and go, and, you know, when I was growing up in the 80s, you know, like the Marvels and the, you know, the Batmans and all them were always popular, but I was like big into the G.I. Joes and the Transformers stuff. But it seems like maybe as I got older, like maybe I went around enough, but it seems like a lot more people are talking about comic books these days, where I'm hearing it more often about people like really into comic books. Have you seen an up, you know, sort of uptick?
We've definitely seen an uptick. I think the movies are driving that primarily.
Okay.
You know, it's in the forefront of people's minds right now. So I think that really helps a lot.
You know, and the folks our age that were collecting that stuff and doing that, you know, how many times when you're kids or you have a conversation, man, if you could put an X-Men movie together, who would you have play this?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think back even in the late 80s, we would say, well, Patrick Stewart should play Jean-Luc or should play Professor X, which of course he did. But,
yeah.
But, you know, those people who love filmmaking and love special effects, they're out there. They still love that stuff, and now they're making it.
And now we have disposable income, too.
I think, exactly. You know, they're putting things like that to the fore.
Okay.
But besides that, the older books, you know, they're synonymous as an icon of American art or, you know, the past of America. And they're becoming investor items more so now than ever before than just saying, oh, I've got a Batman number 41 or I've got a Batman number one. Now it's, I've got a blue chip piece of art, piece of investment material. To give you an idea, just in the last 6 years, we did an analysis for something we were doing in the shop, and from 2006 to 2012, the Batman number one tripled in value.
Wow.
At a certain grade, which was around the 7 mark. So in 2012, that book was around 380,000. Now, a book in similar condition would fetch, I think we said, somewhere between 600,000 and 700,000.
Right.
So, wow. I mean, you're seeing exponential growth. So
that's, you know, amazing.
The fact those original books, those really rare high number or low number books, are becoming so hard to get. You can't, you know, not everybody can afford those, but they can afford a Batman 43 if they try real hard. So, you know, that's driving the value from the ground up, from the number ones all the way back through the series. And people are looking to see what was the next big key. You and I talked about it the other day in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
McFarlane is a very influential entertainment person, aside from the fact that this Amazing Spider-Man 300 that he did is the first real Venom appearance. So that you know, it's 30 years all of a sudden, and now that's a huge book to have, especially in high grade. Because the difference between, say, a 9.8, which would be incredibly nice shape, to, say, an 8.0 is 60-70% difference in value, if not more. Mm-hmm. So one might be 500, the other might be 125. So then it drives you to go find that
higher quality.
Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts to it, but comics are definitely bigger, and I think there's still there's no sign of them stopping. So,
and like anyone who's listened to the show for like half a second knows that, you know, I'm always in like this state of like nostalgia. It seems like where, like, you know, the comics I remember growing up, you know, reading and stuff like that, I wouldn't mind going back and like rereading as an adult and everything. So I'm like, just talking to you guys in my head, I'm thinking about, like, all right, G.I. Joe issue 50, you know, when they had the Battle of Springfield, or what about, like, you know, this Transformers, you know, saga that, you know, I remember, you know, reading or about, or, you know, like all these different, like,
G.I. Joe 21.
21, the silent issue.
Oh, yeah. That was so great.
I got that in the mail. I was like, what? There's no words. But, then I,
but
just,
I mean, the art just right. sold the whole thing.
Storm Shadow and Snake Eyes, man.
But yeah, even like I grew up reading Archie comics, like the Double Digest and the, you know, all those things. So like, you know, part of me was like, man, I would really like to go back and, you know, I still to this day remember vividly the old Wolverine cover. I forget which episode where he's like, you know, with his claws out and the cigar and like it had the people all around it.
Right. I know the one close up in the early 80s where he's got the cigarette and the cigar in his mouth, you know, it's real close to the Frank Miller cover.
Well,
and
I know
there's
like,
one where he's on top of a pile of people from 88. It's the first issue where he's got claws out.
Marvel did a, like, it wasn't just, I think, an X-Men, but like in one of the G.I. Joe comics, it had Snake Eyes and it had like around the border, it had like the different like Marvel heroes.
Oh, it's the anniversary issues.
Okay, is that what it
from
was?
From 84 or 85, 84, I think.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, they had a Wolverine cover.
Had
that. And so like I could still see that artwork in my head,
right.
You know, 30 some odd years later, it seems like.
Right.
So, you know, there's an old Star Wars comic that, I mean, I would love to go back and reread too. You know, I mean, so like,
why don't you just look them up online?
Yeah,
figure out which
number
the covers are, and we'll go get them. That's what we
definitely.
Do. He does not. Brent does not like to toot his own horn, but he's in the past.
Let's toot away.
That's what I'm saying. he's an incredibly sharp businessman, but aside from that, he loves comics. He loves what he's doing.
That's
but he
the
takes
key.
Things. Is it? I mean, he takes it to the next level. He was formerly, and we're in the process of doing it again. He was an Overstreet advisor. Annual guide is the definitive price guide for the comic book industry as far as you get a one-off every year snapshot of what approximate values are at the time of that guide, and then you use it as a baseline. And he's been an advisor to the guide for many past editions and is about to revamp his role as an advisor again. And, you know, it says something when something like Overstreet that has the when it carries that much of an impact, that much weight, and you're part of that organization, that you're entrusted with, you know, advising on what the values of these books are. And we're not talking about $10 books, $50 books. We're talking about, you know, Action Comics number one, first book Superman, sold for $3.2 million over eBay just a year and a half ago, I think. So, I mean, you're talking about serious money here. And, you know, so if you have comics, if you have some heirlooms in that genre of, you know, the geek culture or the old the books and things, you know, Brent is someone that you can bring it to and get a fair assessment, an analysis of what value you have and what maybe you should do with them, what you should hold some or sell some or whatnot. So, you know, he brings something else to the table that you don't just walk into any comic shop and find. So I think it's very important.
I need to go through my books. I've got a lot. And I need to go through all of mine and see. I really need to separate the whatever they call the whole thing. What's that analogy? Separate the something from the something.
The wheat from
the
chaff.
Whatever.
Chef.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't even know which one's the better one of that. But I need to separate them to say, you know what? This is a book worth protecting,
mm-hmm.
you know, long-term protection.
Right.
This is a book worth long-term protection. This one, okay, that can sit in the pile of just, you know, that was just a standoff
you
issue
just keep
type
it nice.
Thing. Yeah, you know. But there are some books I have. There's some autographed books that I have that are like, these need to be protected better than what I am doing right now, which is still fine. They're backed, they're bagged, you know, they're boarded right. and bagged and boxed, but they could be better.
Well, you know, I told you a little bit about CGC and CBCS, mm-hmm. the grading services, and the more exclusive is CGC because they were the first in, so a lot of people use them as an industry standard. And if CG says it's this grade, then it's 99.9 times out of 10, it is that grade.
Mm-hmm.
So if you'd like to bring your stuff by the shop, we'll sit down one day at the table and we'll look through them and you know, advise you any way I can. And I'm sure Brent will be glad to do the same. But
yeah, I plan to do that. I don't know when, but I do, because trust me, there are a lot of things in my mental note list of don't forget to do this and this and this.
Well, you invited us here, so we want to invite you there. So.
Well, I appreciate it very, very much. And I want to thank you guys for coming in and also being a part of the show and sponsoring the show. Anytime we get a sponsor, it's a big deal for us. We only do this thing one day a week
right.
on a Saturday. And you know, it's out of the goodness of the company that they're like, you know, go ahead. Sure. Talk about video games and whatever else on Saturday. You're more than welcome to do that. doesn't necessarily make them any money, but now it is. And so it's a big deal when that happens.
I think we should convince them that there should be 2 hours for video games and an hour for comic books.
See, that's the thing. We could have gone on for – we could go on.
I could talk more Starships.
We could go comic books.
Hey, we haven't talked about the USS Sulaco yet.
Oh.
We could go further. We could go further with just this whole, like, whatever thing to talk about comics, science fiction, whatever. We could easily do that, and I try to keep it real specific here.
Firefly class Starships.
Oh, come on!
And fortunately, with video games, I can able mix the mediums because I mean we've got a lot to talk about with Spider-Man on PS4.
Yeah, right. We could talk Gundam. So much we can mix mediums with Gundam.
I never got into the Gundam series,
but I tell you, RJ probably would know that. I bet RJ would know that.
I was
much
more
better.
Of a Robotech. Yeah. You know,
I love Macross Robotech. Oh, yeah. I just got the VF1 in the mail. I won it off of a sci-fi board on Facebook.
Oh, wow.
The box is like 18 inches long. I'm so excited. I'm like, Hercules. You know, I can't wait to open it up and get into it. But I like the detail of mine. I've got a Falcon that I've detailed. It was a 1984 NPC kit. It was a crap kit. I mean, it was really put together shoddily. But I've got Tamiya modeling putty, got it all cracked, sealed, added piping and everything. I'll have to shoot you some pics of it.
Definitely.
It's awesome.
Something that I totally forgot to do before we go to a break here. I forgot to do this thing here. And I have to do this so that I can sync this up whenever I do the video later.
Just have to make a note that
it's
the end of the
way the whole end of the episode.
Yeah.
Normally I do it right at the beginning, but I totally forgot to do that this time.
Well, that's the magic of editing.
All right. So the best part about the thing that I liked the most about your shop when I was there and when I was finding out more about it was that you have an 800 number. You have an online presence, so I know we've got listeners on Twitch who are not local, but can still get in touch with you, because your phone number is 1-800-548-3314, 1-800-548-3314. If you're local, it's 272-1787, but again, you can get all this information at qualitycomicswithanx.com, and they are going to be... since they're sponsoring the bumper music, we're going to be using that to give away. We're going to do a contest. We're going to legit do a contest.
A contest?
We've got a $10 gift certificate to the shop. This is a gift certificate that if somebody is out of state could use.
Yeah, we'd figure it out. Use our 800 number, call us, and let us know you want it on in-game chat. It'll have a number on it that they'll only be able to have if they have their certificate.
I can give them the number off the certificate number off of that thing and give that to them.
Yeah,
okay.
We can look it right up, and we can apply their $10 to any purchase.
Fantastic. Wonderful. So I just didn't want to leave anybody out of this.
Right. No, we don't either.
We got someone from Canada asking if we could post a link.
Post to qualitycomics.com in the chat room.
And we also have our Facebook. So, again, as Jay said, it's Quality Comics with an X. Check out our Facebook. We promote a lot of events and things there.
That's Montgomery Quality Comics.
Right. It's 500 Eastern Boulevard, Suite 101. And I forget the zip code, so I'm not telling you.
36117.
36117. There we go. Yes. I just wanted to make Brent talk again. Yeah.
So the way this is going to work... If at any moment after we do music and stuff, when you start hearing music, if you think you've got an idea of the theme, feel free to call in.
Let me get my cell phone ready.
Yeah, we're not going to do any sort of situation where it's like we want the ninth caller at such and such time or anything like this.
First come wins. Huh?
It's the first person that calls in wins.
With the right answer, not just the first one to call in.
If you think you know the link. Between all the music that we're using, every week I pick music. Mostly every week I pick music that there's some type of underlying theme.
So
between
you're doing
them
the theme for this one?
Yes.
I won't get it.
Yeah,
I never do.
I know. So if you think you know this one, anytime during the show, call in. If you get it right, then you win the $10 gift certificate to Quality Comics, and we'll set that all. We'll get that all squared away for you. I don't think you're going to get it just by hearing the first song. So it's going to take a few. Just for you to understand and get the idea of maybe what we're going for here. So, anyway, thanks again, guys, for coming in, and thanks so much for
thanks
for being
having,
part
for
of
having
the show.
Us. Yeah,
we appreciate it very much. As we go out here, it's your first song of the show. Here, it is from God of War. It is called Peaks Pass. It is from this recent God of War. It's not going back to the old. It's from the recent God of War. We'll be back with more of in-game chat right after this. And welcome back to In Game Chats. Music from Jack and Daxter. The music brought to you by Quality Comics, who you just heard on the show here with Brent and Lee. Quality Comics located on the Eastern Boulevard here in Montgomery at 500 Eastern Boulevard. You can reach them online at qualitycomics.com. That's mostly where their vintage comics are displayed there, but you can also go to Facebook at Montgomery Quality Comics on Facebook, and you can see all sorts of the stuff they've got, the collectibles, the figures, that sort of thing that are there in the shop as well. They're the SOS, the largest vintage comic dealer, and you can find them on their eBay store as well. So if you're on eBay, look up Quality Comics, and you can find their stuff there. Also, it's where a lot of the, I think a lot of the collectible stuff is. So, they are sponsoring the contest. Well, they, you know, they came up with a prize for the contest. We got a $10 gift certificate to Quality Comics, which can be used if you're out of state. There you can go online and place the order with the certificate and actually get the discount as well. So if any time during the show you think you know what the theme is, you need to call in.
What was the sex song?
This Matt had to walk them out, by the way. This is Jack and Daxter, the main title theme to Jack and Daxter. It is, the number is 272-9228. You guys can post all your guesses in the chat room as you want, but unless you call in, it doesn't count for your guess. So just keep that in mind. One thing they wanted me to tell you was that Thar66 said a lot of his comics, they were all yellow pages and stuff, and probably weren't. I have a few, but they're not pristine yellow pages and all. Oh well. Lee wanted me to tell you that even the yellow pages, yellow page books, can still sell for hundreds of dollars.
Yeah.
You know, depending on what they are and that sort of thing. So
it's just not because yellow. That doesn't mean you're necessarily
exactly
out of luck.
They showed me. They showed me a couple of restored books from the 40s and 50s and stuff, and how they were touch-ups done and that sort of thing, so they could I mean, it says it on the when you get a book like cased back and that sort of thing, there's a thing up there that, that talks about the significance of the book, and also says that there's restoration. It tells you where the restoration was, the cover, the spine, touch-ups here and there. So it's a really interesting process, and I want to get some of my books out. Number one, I haven't gotten my books out in a long time.
Same here.
So I'd like to go through just to see how they're holding up, number one. Number two, I'd love to get those things sorted and do a different box. When I was doing this, I was just trying to make room somewhere else. And so it was like, let's take them all, put them in here, put them in my boxes, and then put them up in this closet. And there was no real organization going on. It was... That box is full, put the top on it, put it away. This box is full, put the top on it, put it away. Not to mention, I have, with the exception of, I think, the first two issues, I have every single copy of Nintendo Power.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that was just from subscribing to the magazine. They're probably in the worst shape in the world.
So you don't have the first two issues?
I do not have the first two issues. Okay. I know Jeremy does.
The Mario cover. What, the second one, the Castlevania?
Oh, well, then I do have the second issue. I think mine starts with Castlevania.
Because that was a pretty big, you know, he's sitting there holding the head, and everyone's like, oh, my God.
I think mine starts with Castlevania.
Okay.
Then.
I thought that was two.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Hey, RJ, look that up for me. Oh,
yeah, right.
Man.
He's not here. So, did I do that? Okay, good.
Yeah,
I wasn't sure if I did that or not. It's kind of gone kind of quick here, so... anyway, welcome back to the show, everybody, and let's get into what we have played and see if we can knock out some news as well.
How about you go first?
Well, I'll go first then.
All right.
Why not? It sounds like a good idea.
I think so.
I played Destiny and I played Spider-Man. There you go.
All right.
I mean, everybody loves to hear when I talk about Destiny. I've been playing a lot of Destiny. The grind is a real thing now. The fact that you now have dailies where you didn't before, and even dailies might be something like just play a PvP match or just do a strike or something like that. It's still there and it's still available for you to do, but what you're, the real grind is grinding up enough to become raid ready to do the raid, and that's a grind, man. Trying to go from 500 to 540 has been a real steep incline, and I'm finally at 546, I think. So
546?
Yeah, I'm up there now.
That goes to show you how long it's been since I played, because I'm...
You're at, like, what, 300-something?
320-something?
Yeah, yeah. 320, 330. Oh, you jump right up, man.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Trust me, if you got back into it, you'd just vroom, right up there.
All
right,
so one of my coworkers,
I saw James playing it, by the way, one time. I was on this week, and he was on. And I was like, oh, James is playing.
Huh, how about that?
Interesting, yeah.
One of my coworkers, he got the Destiny 2 on the free PS, you know, PlayStation Plus.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It is free this month.
I think it's just the base game.
It is, but still.
So, you know, he comes in there and he's always asking me questions about, like, so how about this? How about that? And I'm like, man, it's been a while since I played. I really don't remember that much.
And yeah.
So I'm trying to, like, you know, refresh my memory on stuff. He's like, why don't you play it? I'm like, well, because I played it on the PC. He's like, well, you can load it up on the PlayStation. I'm like, I don't feel like starting a character over from scratch. That, I mean, because it's hard enough doing an alt character until you can get to use your Sparrow. Like that first level, when you're just stumbling around so slow, drives me insane.
I know.
So, and then I don't have all my gear, I don't have all my weapons, and having to go back and get...
No, I don't ever want to do this over again.
Yeah, so that's why I'm
Which
like,
I haven't done. I still have a third character that I haven't done anything with yet. I haven't created the third character yet.
Well, it's different to, you know... doing an alt, then starting from complete scratch on another platform.
Yeah, with nothing.
That is what, I mean, if I would just like, if he was on the PC, I'd load it up and maybe do another.
Trying my hardest to get RJ to jump over on the PC side of things. He's built his PC now.
Mm-hmm.
Trying my very hardest to get him on that side and play with us there. I've been recruiting real well for our clan.
If he does, I would probably load it back up and join in.
I was playing with I say randoms, but they were from the Discord, the Destiny LFG Discord.
Yeah.
I was playing with them the other night, and I don't know any of these people. You just pop in there and say, "Hey, do you need another for your group to mm-hmm. run whatever we were running? We were running Iron Banner, I think, so it was Crucible 6v6." And I said, "Hey, you guys need a fifth, you need a sixth, whatever it was." Yes, so we got in there and we're playing for a while, and. Somebody in the room goes into the chat just because we were down a few people, and he says something to the effect of, "Hey guys, come in here. We've got so and so. I can't remember who it was, but he was just giving us all nicknames, and I can't remember who the other person was in there. And then we've got a radio guy too." And I was like, "How do you know I'm in radio?" He's like, "I don't know that you're in radio. You just sound like you're in radio." I was like, "Oh,
you told on yourself."
I was like, "Well, I am in radio," and he started being interested. And he's like, "Hey, I want to join your clan." So he joined into the in-game chat clan. So yeah, I'm trying to recruit people for the clan as well. But yeah, I've been playing Destiny, and I've been playing a little bit of Spider-Man. Here's where I am in Spider-Man.
Okay, hold off on a lot of that because I want to talk about that too. Because
I know.
Playing it.
Well, because I'm not very far. I want to let you know where I'm at, so that you don't ruin anything for me. Will be hard for you because I am not very far in.
Okay.
Here's what's happened. First off, I have basically, I have done the mission where I get my suit.
Okay. Repaired?
Repaired, yes.
Yes.
Where you get the suit that's on the cover of the box and everything.
Yes.
The suit that is the main focus of the game.
The white spider.
Yes. So I've gotten my suit. That is as far as I've gotten.
Okay.
Does that mean I haven't been playing? No. Here's the thing. What Spider-Man is an open world, just go do your own thing type of thing. There are objectives for you to do. There are main missions for you to do, but there are also side missions for you to do.
That game is like straight up, ooh, shiny thing.
Right. So I've repaired all of the police towers all over the city. So I did that first.
Yes, I've done that.
Right. Now,
you want to open up the city.
Right, yeah. I've opened up the entire city. Mm-hmm. So now... I see that in every, like, borough of the city, there's, like, a long list of things that are still locked out to me.
Yes.
The only two that are unlocked are my backpacks
and
some crimes. Yes. Yeah, the red crime things, whatever, thug crimes.
Just random, randomized crime things.
Where it looks like each section has about five of those to do.
Five, I think, I'm not sure if they're different ones. Well, actually, you do five, but within them they have varying...
Right. Sometimes it's a robbery. Yeah. Sometimes it's a drug deal. Sometimes it's a car heist.
And you have different objectives for the ones. And, like, I've noticed, like, some of them I've already done all the objectives for these. Mm-hmm. I've gotten the 3 tokens, so I could just, you know, not have to focus on I need to do this.
Don't know too much of what you're talking about, but that's as far as I've gotten.
The objective tokens for the crime.
I know, but there's only, like, when I look at my token list, my token list shows backpacks.
Yes.
And the little red triangle thug crime type
and
stuff.
It'll take a while to get more.
There's other tokens, yes. And those haven't unlocked for me because I haven't gone further. Here's my problem. I'm going to go through now, before I hit that next story mission, which is to look into the Fisk construction site.
Yes.
Yeah. Before I even go there, I'm going to wipe out all the backpack missions or the backpacks that are there.
That'll give you a suit.
Yeah. And then I'm going to wipe out all the little crime ones, too, in every little burrow that I've got. Because there's only one that's unlocked for me so far.
Okay.
Like I said, it's the red triangle thing.
Because you need those tokens for upgrades.
Right.
Say you do one of the car chasing, you know, where you're zipping through, you have to jump on the car. For instance, that's one of the crimes that you have to do. It'll give you, like, optional objectives.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, do not get hit. And then stop the car without taking, whatever. If you do those... If you complete the optional objectives, they'll give you extra tokens.
Yeah, I understand.
Prime tokens. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, I've been going through. I'm like, oh, I've already done all, you could get a max number of 3 crime tokens per instance.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've done all 3 of the objectives, you'll only get 1 token in addition if you do that kind of crime again.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, those are always going around. Even now, I've unlocked some other stuff I could still do.
There's a whole lot of list of things in every borough that are still locked. There's only 2 that have been unlocked for me in every borough.
I'm just
That's
glad.
The backpacks and the thug crimes. That's it.
I'm just glad we don't have to do balloons.
Balloons.
From Spider-Man 2 on the PlayStation. I think it was the original PlayStation. One of the optional things.
Oh, if like a kid lost his balloon, you had to go get it.
Yeah, that one was the worst. Yeah. You don't have any of that. Traversal around... the city is so much fun.
Yeah, I'm very, very, very early into this game. I played a lot. I'm just really early as far as the story into this game. When I played it last week, I was actually kind of annoyed. That first opening mission where you fight Kingpin?
Yes.
I died like 5 or 6 times trying to do that final fight. And I was getting annoyed with the game. I was like, This is not the kind of tutorial you want to give me opening up the game where I'm just constantly dying. This is horrible. I was not getting the controls down.
Yeah.
I'm much better at it now.
I think it's one of those things where it's like harder that time, then it like makes it easy, and then it builds back up to the...
Yeah. I was worried because after I finished that fight...
I died with him several times, too.
After I finished that fight, I was like, I don't know that I want to get back into this. If this is how it's going to be for me, I don't know that I want to do this. So... but I did come back to it, and I've enjoyed what I played, and so I'm looking forward to going further into the game. But it is going to be a slow burn for me on this game, a very slow burn because of all the stuff that's there for me to enjoy. So,
I've unlocked the last suit that I've unlocked is the Infinity War suit, the Iron Spider.
That unlocked for me. See, I did the whole collector's edition pre-order thing.
Really?
Yeah, it's already unlocked for me.
With the arms that come? Really? Mm-hmm. Okay, because like for me, I'm level like 31 or so.
I'm level 7.
Yeah, so that's the unlock for me way down the line.
Yeah.
Is, that Iron Spider
It unlocked
suit.
For me because I did the pre-order and everything. Because I did the pre-order, I got 3 suits out of the gate.
Okay.
And I can't remember what they all are, but that's one of them. I've got the Spider-Man Noir suit.
Yeah, I had that one as well.
Got the punk rock suit.
Yeah, with the mohawk.
Yep,
of spikes.
Got the I've got the Iron Spider suit.
Okay,
which is the Infinity War thing.
Yeah,
I've got the it's not the fusion suit, but it's like looks like he's wearing a motorcycle helmet or something like that. It's
is it green or yellow or...
It's, kind of yellow and black
type
thing.
Okay, yeah. There's a couple of them that are like that.
Yeah, I've got one of those suits as well.
I'll run around with a suit for a while. The thing I really like about it is the powers that you have aren't suit specific.
No, you can put them in any of the suits.
Oh my God, I like that so much. because I'll be running through and I'm like, let me just do this power for a while. And I'll have, you know, like the power that comes with the white spider suit, mm-hmm. right? I'll do that one for a good while because it allows you to boost up your, I guess, your action gauge.
Your focus.
Yeah, your focus gauge. And like, so it does a quick focus gauge boost. And sometimes if I need, you know, health, I'll do that. And then like it gets me health back. And so
yeah.
I am further than that.
Okay, and we're going to get into that. We're getting closer to the top.
Okay.
And I know we didn't talk about what you were, what you've played.
Yeah.
Chris? Okay, we'll go to Chris, and then we'll go to our break here. Hey, Chris.
What's going on, y'all?
Hey, are you on speaker? What do you sound like? You're in an echo or something.
Yeah, I'm on speakerphone. I'm sitting here chilling and enjoying our vacation.
Oh, you're still on vacation. Why?
Oh, yeah, for another whole next weekend, we'll be starting to head back.
Okay.
So on your vacation, are you listening to us on vacation?
Of course I am.
Oh,
wow, thanks.
Well, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Y'all were talking about the Nintendo Power earlier. Yeah, the Castlevania is the second one in the issue. The first was the Mario 2 cover.
What was the third issue? Do you remember?
I could go back if I left the house because I finally went back and got all my magazines out and organized them from, you know, in alphabetical order from the first through the last of when I stopped my subscription. But
I'm going to look at it here just to see what I've got.
I'll probably recognize it, you know, but yeah, the first two I remember, but especially the second one, I'll never forget that one. And still, when I think back and look at it,
the second one is Castlevania?
Yeah, the second one is Castlevania.
Okay, I thought so.
Man, I'm not sure, but looking at all these covers, I'm like, I got that one.
So you might have them all except for the first.
It may be just the first. That Track and Field 2 I've got. I know mm-hmm. I've got that one. Mario Kart, of course, I do have that one. TMNT, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I've got that one as well. Yeah. Just looking at all these old Nintendo. Mega Man 2. There's another one. I don't know what issue that is, but yeah. Zelda, there's a Zelda 2 one as well.
Mm.
What issue is that one?
I have to get with you sometime, Scott, because I've got, they had different little issues that came out that had, you know, a chronological order of, you know, like issue 1 through, and it told you what year they were and what was on the cover, and that helped me go through and organize mine in order as well when I went through mine here sometime in the past.
Man, I got a lot of these. I have a lot of these. I do not have that first issue, though. Super Mario 2, I do not have it. Well, yeah, I'm gonna have to go through these. I'm going to have to go through the ones at the house. Yeah, I just have to.
But, yeah. And you were talking about earlier when you always take your Switch with you on vacation. I did the same with mine, but I've got the ultimate laziness of I've got a tripod, and I made a little rig that'll actually hold the Switch up at different angles, and I'm sitting here on the bed talking to y'all and playing Minecraft on the Switch at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Had a lot of Switch announcements come out week before last.
Yes.
That really kind of solidified that as my go-to handheld for the games that are going to be released for it, so... We'll be talking about that next hour. Hey, Chris, I want to thank you for calling. I want to thank you for listening during your vacation, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully we can bring some of this nice weather back with us because the other morning we got up to go see some ruins at the Mesa Verde. It's like maybe 20, 30 miles west of Durango, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
You know how cold it was that morning?
No.
No.
I think it was around like 58 degrees or no 53 degrees in the morning when we got up. Of course, we got up at the crack of dawn to head out there.
Yeah, Seattle was pretty cold in the mornings too, which I, you know, trust me, I was enjoying all of that. What?
Try not to sneeze in the microphone.
Oh, okay. You were giving me a look like I had just said a horrible word on the air, and I was like, what? I don't. What did I say?
No,
I can't remember that I said something horrible. You just had this look.
No, I was trying not to sneeze in the microphone.
If that's the way you look when you're trying not to sneeze, you will freak people out.
I usually do.
Because you make people think they did something or said something. I have no idea. Okay, so, yeah. Chris, thanks again, man. I appreciate it. We got to take our break, so thanks for calling.
All right, y'all have a good afternoon.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Once again, we're going into our break here. We got some music here. Don't forget the music sponsored by Quality Comics, who we just had in for the show. They are now sponsors of In-Game Chat. They're located at 500 Eastern Boulevard here in Montgomery. You can see them at qualitycomics.com, or you can check out their Facebook page, Montgomery Quality Comics. That is comics with an S, C-O-M-I-X.
You said with an S.
I said X.
It sounded like S.
Yeah, well, it's X.
X.
C-O-M-I-X. Hopefully I said it that right, yes. Or said that the right way. You can find their store on eBay as well, and you can, again, it's a massive shop and tons of, I was just... So I used to be this way when I was in the video store, and I'm like this when I'm in a bookstore, and I'm like this when I'm in a comic shop. I just walk around forever. I might see the same things over and over and over again, but for whatever reason, I just can't leave.
Uh-huh.
There's more to see.
Yes.
There's always more to see, and there's more that I want to see. The covers and everything else, I want to look into the books, I want to read them. But yeah, it's just a ton of stuff there that they've got at Quality Comics. And like I said, you can find out all the information at qualitycomics.com or at Montgomery Quality Comics on Facebook. They do sponsor the music, and we do have a theme, and we've got a $10 gift certificate to Quality Comics for the first person who can figure out what the theme is between all the songs that I've selected. You've only heard two so far, God of War and
Ratchet.
Or no, Jack and Dexter.
Jack and Dexter.
Yeah, Jack and I always got those confused, too.
Mm-hmm.
Jack and Daxter as well. But you do have to call in to make that guess, 272-9228. Even if you throw out guesses on the Twitch chat, it's not going to count. You got to call us. So, anyway, we go to break here with music from Banjo-Kazooie. And we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Uh-huh. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Scott and Matt here. RJ is going to be back next week with us. Are you going to be back here next week with us as well?
I think I will be.
Okay.
Should be.
I didn't know, you know.
I don't think I have any plans. I don't know.
Yeah. What did you think this music was?
It sounded like Temple of Doom at first.
Right? That opening of it?
Yeah.
Well, I can't re-cue it. But yes, the opening makes it sound massively like Indiana Jones.
That's what I thought.
It is not, though.
What?
It is a game for the NES.
Calling shenanigans on that.
Yeah, right? It's called A Boy and His Blob.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, I remember that game.
Yeah. Music brought to you by Quality Comics at 500 Eastern Boulevard here in Montgomery. You can call them at 272-1787 or go 1-800-548-3314. They've got a store on eBay where you can see a lot of their stuff. They do have a shop online that you can buy from, qualitycomics.com. It is comics with an X.
And a Facebook.
And they got a Facebook page, Montgomery Quality Comics, if you want to go there as well. They were in the show for the first for the opening segment of the show. Gave Matt some really cool Star Trek merchandise stuff. Yeah, exactly. And we've got a $10 gift certificate to give away to Quality Comics that can be used, by the way. You don't have to actually be here locally if you're listening on Twitch. You don't have to be here locally to use it. Yeah. But if you think you know what the common theme is running between all this music that you've heard so far, give us a call at 272-9228 and 334-272-9228 and guess. We're taking the first person who thinks they know what the common theme is. So even if you heard the first song and you thought, I know what it is, I don't know how you would have, but you'd call in. So the first person that calls and guesses right gets those that $10 gift certificate to Quality Comics. Now, Matt, what have you played? I'm so sorry. What have you played?
So, like you with your Destiny, I've been playing more Elite Dangerous.
Right.
That's my. That is, you know, talking with Kevin, you know, we were winging up last night and playing around.
I saw you guys on Discord. I saw you.
Yeah. That's basically what we determined it's our MMO, you know,
yeah, well,
so to speak.
That's
so
I can see that.
He's
it's your time sink.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's not quite as grindy as some other games I've played. I'm still enjoying it,
mm-hmm.
but you know, we're flying around, doing a lot of stuff with that. So yeah, Elite Dangerous, love that game. Spider-Man, like I talked about earlier, I'm a little further in it. I've unlocked some more stuff and. I'm like you, where even though like I had the you know little flashing icon of like here's the next you know story progression, I'm like oh let me go around the town and do all the stuff of this thing,
yeah.
or oh here's a side mission that came up, let me do that.
Now
first.
If you're talking about an MMO, I'm there to increase my level,
yeah.
So I don't. There's plenty of things to do in Destiny that I completely avoid because they are not going to help me whatsoever increase. My level type stuff, so I'm only doing the significant stuff. Basically, it's open world games that I get caught.
Well,
with
the Spider-Man,
on the
like,
side
I,
missions,
I am
yeah.
all doing everything. You know, if you know, I run into some person, and they open up, you know, different things around Manhattan for me to do. Then I will do all those before I continue on with the main storyline. So I have really, really, really been enjoying Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
And on that, I've been playing Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
I need to pick that up. PC or?
PC.
Okay.
Yes. This is the third in the, I guess, reboot Tomb Raider mm-hmm. series. The continuation after Rise of the Tomb Raider. Still with Laura and her friend Jonah. I'm really enjoying this one as well. This one feels more Tomb Raider-y to me. Then the other one's kind of focused a little bit, I think, on action. You know, where you fight a lot of people and stuff like that.
Yeah.
This one, like, the first Tomb Raider, you know, the first one that came out in, I think, 13. Yeah, it was. It's almost as if the tombs were an afterthought.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had, like, this little one-room area tomb. And that was kind of, like, it. This is more isolation, you by yourself, you know, in a cave, underwater, doing these things, you know,
yeah.
And I really like that. They also have new, like, sort of hub areas, kind of like a social hub area,
mm-hmm.
which is also really cool, where you could go to, like, a little town, and you get side missions from there, or you have little challenges from there, and then you go outside of that little town area, and there will be, like, some hunting areas where you can, like, you know, go back to the hunting of the animals, you know, for some extra XP and resources. And then they also have the challenge tombs as well as catacombs, you know. So I'm really enjoying this game.
Yeah.
I think story-wise it says I'm, like, close to 80% done with the story.
Mm-hmm.
So, but much like Spider-Man, I will do all the challenges, all... You know, collect all the items, do everything in one area before I progress on. And, you know, a few times I, you know, had to progress on, then I'll go back and, you know, go to an area that I've been to before and like, all right, let me, you know, find all of these items or do all these challenges or, you know, all the different little things.
Yeah.
So it really gets into my completionist, you know, veins. So
I know. The same thing is happening, like I said, with Spider-Man. And I keep forgetting that Shadow of the Tomb Raider's out.
Yes.
You know? It's kind of a what's it called? Whatever. There's a lot to play.
Yes.
Spider-Man, Shadow of the Tomb Raider.
Next month's going to be two big ones for me.
What have you got the other? I know the one. Oh, Assassin's Creed and Red Dead Redemption. You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed I'll wait on because I usually do.
I understand. You didn't play Origins, did you?
I did.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I worked on it very, very little. I again, distracted by
everything?
All the stuff.
So you didn't finish it?
I did not finish it. No, no, no.
I
can't remember where I left off.
Well, because you played through Syndicate, correct?
Almost. I got very close to the end. I never actually finished it because I got hung up on, again, side quests, which,
yeah.
Honestly, if I look back at the history of my game, of my gaming with things like open world type stuff, I really need to understand that there's a pattern here, that I do get through a good chunk of it, but I never finish the thing. And it's because of the side quest, because it's, you know, takes so long to get through all that stuff. So really, if I was, you know, if I paid attention to my history with these things,
mm-hmm.
I'd understand that, hey, let go of this, move on, move the story along, stop trying to complete something that really has no meaning whatsoever.
Okay.
To the, a lot of the side quests in Syndicate were just there for you to do if you wanted to do them, but I've maxed out my characters on the thing, so I don't need any more points or whatever that it gives me
mm-hmm.
from doing those missions. It's just nice little story things that are there. And so
I got up to the World War I era.
Right, I finished that.
So I think that's close to the end.
It's an optional thing that opens up. It's not really
yeah.
part of the story.
Yeah, but like as
it
far
opens
as progression
up,
wise.
Yeah, it opens up, I think, when you've got like the last three, and I don't want to call them missions, but
mm-hmm.
they're, you know, there's part 6, part 7, and part 8, I think. And it opens up between 5 and 6 to where you can do the World War II stuff. That doesn't mean, it means you're close to the end, but you've still got actually a lot of stuff to do.
Okay.
You got part 6 to do, part 7, and part 8 as well. And I don't even know if there's more that comes after that, to be honest with you. There could be stuff that opens up once you're done with that.
I do like Odyssey. I like the change that it, you know, the change in direction in gameplay, in the feel.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm looking forward to, I mean, for Origin.
Right, that's why you're looking yeah. forward to Odyssey.
That's yeah. why I'm looking forward to Odyssey. Trying to go back into Syndicate, just, I don't know, it feels...
I would not.
Old.
I know, I would not do it.
You know?
Yeah, I have it, but I would,
I know. Want, I mean, I never played Rogue, and I didn't play Unity.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play, like, the standalones, like Freedom Cry or...
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Or, yeah, you know, all those things. And part of me wants to go through and do all of the Assassin's Creeds,
because
mm-hmm. I really enjoy them, but...
Their linking stories are horrible.
Yeah.
So missing out on Syndicate didn't make me feel like I was going to miss out on anything significant in Origins.
Yeah.
Missing out on Origins doesn't necessarily make me feel like I'm going to be missing out on anything that's in Odyssey.
Possibly.
I don't know how much of
Origins and Odyssey are closer together in time frame than, you know, I guess Origins from Syndicate.
They are, but I honestly don't think
it's necessarily
there,
you have to have that.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be anything there that's linking the two with the exception of the main character. I don't think there's anything there that's going to be taking place that for some reason I'm going to feel like, boy, I'd know a lot more about this if I had played the other one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Story-wise, at least. Combat and that sort of thing, maybe. Gameplay mechanics, yeah, maybe. But
I like the gameplay and the combat of Origin.
Mm-hmm.
I like how they changed it, you know, sort of like shook it up a little bit. I like that. So I am looking forward to Odyssey. Red Dead 2, oh my goodness, I am really looking forward to that one.
Did you see where Assassin's Creed Odyssey's season pass includes a copy of Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered?
I did not see that.
Okay.
Well, of all the games.
Right.
To number one, to remaster. To number two, to
how
throw
does
into
that,
a season.
Yeah,
play.
How maybe does that go back?
Maybe that's how they're like, this is the only way we're going to convince people to play this game.
I don't know. I'm putting a link there in the chat room so you can see about it. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is shaping up to be one of the most robust and expansive entries in the series. Ubisoft announced today that after the launch, Odyssey will get new story quests entitled The Lost Tales of Greece, as well as in-game events available to all players for free. Season Pass owners will also receive two full story arcs and a fully remastered edition of Assassin's Creed 3, which will also include a remastered edition of Assassin's Creed 3 Liberation.
Okay, the standalone. Vita. Yeah, the Vita. Yeah. I guess there are some people out there that enjoyed Assassin's Creed 3. I guess.
Yeah, no, the first comment, that's pretty cool. It's too bad AC3 is the one getting the remaster. That game does not hold up.
It
does not.
Yeah, it was...
They've already remastered the Ezio trilogy, as I understand that.
Yeah.
Have they remastered the first one?
I don't think they...
I think they did do like a somewhat, but not really, you know?
I wouldn't mind a ground-up remaster.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Because I've tried playing through the first one.
I wouldn't mind a Shadow of the Colossus-style remaster of the first game.
Or even, like, I'm trying to, off the top of my head, they have some games where they go back and they sort of rechange, like, you know, with the, you know, an older game. Well, kind of like the Resident Evil 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
How they're, you know, the that's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be the old tank controls, or it's not going to, you know. Oh, so they completely retool everything.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind that with the original Assassin's Creed, because, you know, having it where, you know, the buttons are like, you know, this is your left arm, this is your right arm, this is your legs, this is your, you know, the controls, it's kind of weird, man. If we could get, you know, like in the newer engine with the newer sort of like game controls with that original story, I don't know if they probably would never do that. But something like that would be kind of interesting.
All the comments are like, why did they pick AC3?
Yeah. Of all the ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, like, 4 would, you know, out of, like, Origins, 4 would probably be one of my favorites of the newer ones, you know, of the numbered.
Just
because the Pirates was great. But, I mean, like, that doesn't really need remastering because it was, all, you know, already so, you know, PS4 era.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, so there's that, and what else did we... Okay, so last week, I want to try and cover some of this news from last week. Last week, or week before last, I guess, 2 weeks back, it was a week after Spider-Man had released, and that thing is just doing amazing.
It is.
Sales and everything else, it's doing...
Rightfully so.
Fantastic. At the time, it was the fastest seller, fastest selling game on PlayStation 4. I want to say something like that. However, now, it sold 3.3 million copies in just 3 days. It is the fastest selling first party PS4 game to date. The previous holder of that title was God of War, which was earlier this month, earlier this year. So yeah, it's been fantastic in the UK, which is apparently where all these sales numbers come from. But that also translates to here in the States as well, as what it's doing. So, fastest selling first party PS4 game of all time, which is amazing for it, and it's wonderful that that's there. I'm glad to see that. You always worry with the superhero games. You always worry whenever they make these games how well it's going to do. Especially when you venture out, you know, Batman was like, how are they going to make this? And they made a very, very good Batman game. Had some qualms about it, but overall, great game. Then they did their sequel. And by their sequel, it's just, you're like, okay, these guys get their Batman. They know what they're doing. And then by their third one, yes, that tank stuff was horrible. The Batmobile stuff.
That was the fourth.
Was that the fourth?
Yes.
Oh, Origins. Well, that was not Rocksteady.
Whatever.
That was still, WB Montreal.
I'm talking about, like, you know, in the...
I understand. Yeah. I understand. They were still using... Yes, they were using the...
In the Arkham line.
Yeah, they were already using the groundwork that Rocksteady had made for the mechanics and everything else. But you're exactly right. We were not worried about our Batman.
Yes.
So they're talking about Spider-Man. How will they do this? Web-slinging, swinging, and all this other stuff. Is it all going to work out? And it seems to have worked out very, very well.
Yeah.
So it's one of those situations where it's like, okay, good. They didn't mess that one up.
They did the that parkour game, Insomniac. Not Sun...
Infamous?
No. Like.
Oh, Sunset Overdrive?
Yeah, Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah, yeah. Which so, I didn't play a lick of. I haven't, but I never played it.
But I hear that they use that kind of mechanic sort of to help influence the Spider-Man. You know, that feel of traversal.
Mm-hmm.
And I... I've taken the I'd taken the subway enough times to get the
I haven't even done that yet.
Yeah, I think you have to get progress further.
I'm sure, but I haven't even unlocked that.
Well, you just before you unlock the fast travel.
Mm-hmm.
I did. You do it five times, you get a trophy.
Okay.
You know. All right. Cool. But even now, if something's on the other side of the city, I'll just swing there because it's so much fun.
Doesn't take long.
It doesn't take long. I could get XP by doing different kind of tricks and everything in the
air. Aerial maneuvers and stuff, yeah.
I might run into, hey, here's something like shiny over here to attract my attention. So and it's just fun to try and maneuver around the city. And plus...
Excuse me.
Hopefully I wasn't that scary.
No. Sorry.
But plus, I'm also trying to build up, because you have the benchmarks that you do, for how far you, wall run or how close to the ground or how fast. I'm trying to do those as well, where I think on a lot of them I'm level 3, just trying to do as quick as I can to the, to the ground.
Yeah, I get it.
So...
Because that same thing happens with me with all the different stuff. Just moving, just moving around the city.
Mm-hmm. The combat's fun in it, too.
Last week we found out, that, or I say 2 weeks ago, we found out that a live-action series of Alan Wake
is being worked on. Yeah, production.
Don't know anything about where it's going or who's going to pick it up or who's going to do that, but I am...
Was it Sam Lake, he was the guy that did that, right?
Yes.
I think he always said it. He felt it, it was supposed to be like a TV show. Like a,
Alan Wake was basically a TV series that was put into a game.
Yeah.
That was Sam Lake's vision. It was influenced by The Twilight Zone. Secret Window, Hitchcock, Northern Exposure, a lot of U.S. television. We plan to work closely with Sam on our show. Sam is a huge part of this, and this is his baby. So... It'll be. I'm glad to see that Alan Wake is not completely gone, and that we could get more either in the way of a series or maybe another game as well.
What was your name?
Then we had that's Matt answering the phone there. We got a caller?
We do, Michael.
Michael. Okay, we'll go to the phones and talk to Michael. Hey, Michael.
Hey, how's it going?
What's up?
Oh. Did you hear that Telltale game shut down or whatever?
Oh, we're getting to that. Yeah. We're totally getting to that. Trying to cover some stuff. See, last week, so I was gone for PAX, and then when I came back, I was sick, so we didn't do a show. We'd missed 2 weeks of shows, and I was trying to go back and cover everything. Trying to go back and cover some of the big hits there, because we still didn't talk about all these games that were announced, which I've got that link up as far as for the Nintendo Switch. And then even more than that, there was this... thing yesterday, this whole Telltale situation.
That's disheartening.
I mean, we'll go ahead and jump into that. I tell you what, we'll jump into that after the break here because we are coming up on a commercial break. But Telltale Games effectively is
no more.
Is pretty much done. They've kept on a skeleton crew of about 25 people. Mm-hmm. Originally, we thought they were going to be there to finish off The Walking Dead final season because they are two episodes shy of finishing that season. So we all thought that was the case, but come to find out, no.
It's
they're there
Minecraft.
To fill out the contract for Minecraft on Netflix, and once that's done, then they're done. Effectively leaving Walking Dead out there in limbo, just two episodes to finish it off.
Is Minecraft still relevant?
Minecraft is very relevant, yes.
It's nothing I ever got into, but I think still enough people are
relevant.
Doing it.
I mean, it depends on a certain demographic that you talk to, but yeah, it's very relevant.
Didn't people leave that for Fortnite or whatever?
No, I still think it has a piece of the pie. I mean, Fortnite and Minecraft are very different from what they are, and so I still think it's,
young, I hear a lot of younger kids.
Yeah, I know it's hard to believe, but yes, Minecraft is still enjoyed very much by I would say all ages, but the majority of the market share I think comes from a much younger generation.
Yeah,
I just know I quit a little bit ago, and I know a lot of people quit when Microsoft bought them and stuff.
Yeah, no, it's still going strong as far as Minecraft's concerned. It's still going strong, but they had a contract with Netflix. For, I guess, that Minecraft, the adventure, Minecraft Adventures, or whatever it is that's on Netflix, I guess. So they had a contract with that they couldn't break away from, which I guess was more important, or maybe there was more problems if they broke that. I have no idea. But we're effectively left with a
cliffhanger.
Who knows? I have no idea how, what is it, 5-episode seasons? I guess they got episode 3 out not long ago, and then, you know, I guess you're left to wonder to find out what happens with
Clementine,
yeah, and the group or whatever. I hadn't played in a while. I had planned on picking this up once all the episodes were released.
I played the first 2 seasons. I didn't play the third.
Let me ask you this, Matt. Did Batman season 2 end with any kind of cliffhanger type thing, or was it a nice little wrapped up ending?
I think it was.
Do you know?
Nicely. I beat it.
Okay.
Yeah, I played through and I beat it. I think it was wrapped up all right.
See, it's very strange because they had, I guess,
kind of brain dumped it after I played it. I remember I enjoyed it, and
it wasn't that long ago that there was an announcement made that Telltale had the rights to do a Stranger Things game that was in.
Well, I guess that's not coming out.
No, not at all.
It
is affecting all of
Wolf
their
Among
stuff.
Us too.
Well, Wolf Among Us 2, sure. I can understand that. They had Wolf Among Us already.
Yeah.
But when you pull on a property as big as like Stranger Things, you think, well, this is fantastic for them. Something really bad was done over at Telltale. And by bad, I don't mean somebody got murdered. I'm just saying that there was either money mismanagement or things were much bleaker than we ever knew that they were.
Mm-hmm.
For this whole thing to come out of the blue on a Friday afternoon for a company that you didn't think was really that bad. They had the Game of Thrones license and did a good job with that. They did Tales from the Borderlands.
That was good.
That was that went very well for them. They had the Walking Dead series, which was just amazing.
Tales of Monkey Island.
They hadn't really revisited that. I'm just talking about in what they currently work on. Yeah, because you go back to Sam and Max as well if you wanted
Heck
to.
Yeah, I do.
But that wasn't pulling in the money. It was the Walking Dead series. It was this Tales from...
My question is...
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. But, like, let's say, like, now that all these writers from, like, Telltale are, like, looking for a job, and I hear a lot of people are hiring them now. Will that change, like... how writing is done in video games across the board or across companies?
Nah, I don't think you'll see a change there. I don't think you'll see any company who brings on these people from Telltale release a game that is in the same vein as what Telltale released.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll see anything like that. That was very, very specific to what Telltale did. I know that Ubisoft put out a tweet saying, hey, everybody from Telltale, if you will meet us on Monday from this time to this time, we want to sit down and talk to you about job opportunities over some, you know, drinks and food and stuff. So that, you know, Ubisoft has reached out to all the people at Telltale to, you know, talk about possibly coming to work for them. Will that change anything that Ubisoft is going to plan on doing? No. Number one, Ubisoft doesn't have the property rights for what they were working on, so they'd have to buy all that stuff. So you won't see anything continuation over to any other company until they buy those rights. But you also won't see a company release something that is in the same vein as what Telltale was doing. They may try and go that whole Choices Matter situation, but in a different way, in a different package, in a different look. Telltale hadn't updated their engine in God knows how long.
It was the same engine running all of those.
Yeah.
And it was starting to show its cracks.
Yeah.
You know.
But it just came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. Telltale was on a cusp of like hanging by a thread on how they were going to.
Yeah.
I had no clue that was the case. And I don't know how many people working for Telltale knew that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that must have been crazy. Yeah, to be a worker there now.
Oh man, some of the tweets were heartbreaking. Somebody saying that, you know, all the he said one of the things that one of their, I think it was a character artist, said something to the effect of never do overtime unless you're getting paid for it, because
it's not worth the hell.
All the hours and all the stress and everything else that this man has put in for overtime will now go unpaid. Because he's effectively laid off, he will not get paid for all of that time and effort. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how well pension is good. It didn't put it this way, it didn't add up to a severance package.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what
pension's a little different. Yeah. But it didn't add up to a severance package. I mean, he was just effectively, thanks for all your hard work, all your overtime, all your time away from your family, all of this effort that you put in. Thanks. Bye. That's pretty much it. Yeah, yeah. No, it's horrible to think about. And honestly, I think this happens more in video games than you might even realize.
I heard that like people actually lost jobs, you know, jobs in the game industry rather than like gained any jobs, you know? Like the overall jobs were like gone.
Yeah, it's done, and it's horrible to think about. So, I mean, I hope they all land on their feet. I really, mm-hmm. really do. I just don't know how. I don't know what the video game job market is like. I mean, I honestly don't know what the job market is like at all.
Well, neither do I. I just saw a video about it, and it said like that, mentioned that, and I'm assuming that they were correct. But
yeah. Hmm. Well, Michael, I appreciate you calling, man. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Take care, man. Bye-bye. We got to take a break again. So when we come back, well, we already hit the Telltale thing. So I'll go over some of these Nintendo Switch games and a couple of other things that we had in there. The Vita is dead. Sony is going to end production of the Vita in Japan next year. Yeah, I know.
Leisai. I like.
I don't use it too much. I liked it.
I still use mine. Yeah. I liked it.
Once again, music brought to you by Quality Comics here in Montgomery. Comics with an X, C-O-M-I-X. They've got a store on eBay, but you can also find them online, qualitycomics.com, and you can find them over on Facebook at Montgomery Quality Comics on Facebook. You can call them at 272-1787 or 1-800-548-3314. They are the South's largest vintage comic dealer, but not only comics. They do baseball cards, all sorts of figures, collectibles. They showed me, I was in the back room, and it's almost like the store is split in half. So like when you go into the front of the store, it's this massive open area. And then there's a wall that leads to the back room, and it's basically a mirror of the front. So it's just as big in the back as it is in the front. Hmm. And it's just rows and rows and rows of things. And it can be anything you can probably think of. I saw tons of Lego Millennium Falcons.
Aww.
Yeah. Tons of those.
Not the big, big one.
Not the big one. No. Not the really, really, really big one. But there was like an entire shelf of probably 50 or 60 Pocket Simon games.
Really?
You know Simon? From, yeah. Obviously, the ADG would know that. But the pocket version of Simon. Just a ton of those. I don't know why they have them, but there's a ton that they have.
Why not?
There were countless figures from everything from like Ghostbusters to Nightmare Before Christmas to all the kind of DC. I didn't see a lot of Marvel figures. But then again, I don't see a lot of Marvel figures when I go into comic book shop. It's mostly that DC stuff that are really, really cool. That I actually like.
I like the old animated Batman comics. I mean,
the figures, yeah. But yeah, so it's just a wealth of stuff. Pop figures, they've got all of those as well. Tons of different kinds of those. And it's all there at their store on Eastern Boulevard here in Montgomery at 500 Eastern Boulevard. Go by and say hello. They've got their anniversary coming up next month. We'll have them in again to talk about that. And if you've got comics and you don't know what to do with them, or you don't know how you could preserve them to last even longer, take them over to the guys at Quality Comics. They'll help you out with that. And we've got a $10 gift certificate to give away. So far, nobody's called in to claim this thing. You can call us at 272-9228. If you think you
334.
Know... 334. Yeah, 334-272-9228. If you think you know what the common thread is between all these songs that we've been playing here. So far, we did God of War, Banjo-Kazooie, what was it, Jack and Daxter. Mm-hmm. Yes. A Boy and His Blob.
Yeah.
And now this track. It is from Donkey Kong Country. It is called Bonus Room Blitz. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. If you haven't figured out what the running theme is between all those games, hopefully this one gives it to you, but maybe not. I don't know. This is from...
Sonic & Knuckles?
Oh, yeah. No, it's Emerald Hill Zone from Sonic 2.
Oh, Sonic 2.
So, not Sonic & Knuckles, but Sonic 2. Emerald Hill Zone there. Once again, our music brought to you by Quality Comics, located right here in Montgomery, and online as well. So it doesn't mean that you have to be local to enjoy what they've got at Quality Comics. You can go to qualitycomics.com or on their Facebook page, Montgomery Quality Comics. Or you can go to their eBay store and check out everything that they've got there as well. They did a Magic the Gathering tournament today, and I think they've got another... Oh, it's a release party, I think, next Friday night for another... I'm not big into the Magic stuff, but there's a thing that's releasing next week for Magic the Gathering, and they're doing a release thing next Friday night around midnight or so.
You know, good on Magic for continuing to go all these years.
I mean, why not? If it's still making them money. Yeah. Look, I go to PAX, there's Magic all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
For people to, you know, enjoy and take part in. There's sessions where you can learn how to play the game. There's people there who will teach you how to play the game. So, but yeah, check out Quality Comics online at Quality Comics. That is with an X, comics, comix.com, and Facebook at Montgomery Quality Comics.
It's STM Fuller.
Oh, it's STM Fuller. Okay. Which I
didn't
call in too much. Hey, man.
Yeah, he's a regular. We go to him.
I know, but he didn't call in too much.
Hey.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Pretty doing good. Excellent. Now, were you calling about the contest, or are you just calling to chit-chat?
I can do both.
All right.
Okay. Well, then what do you think the running theme is for the music?
I think it's Buddy Games.
You got it.
That's exactly what
it is.
Yay! I don't have a soundtrack.
It's basic. What I was trying to find was a companion that is with you throughout the game, the entire game. Boy. I did not want to use Last of Us because I've used Last of Us God knows how many times.
It's such a good.
It is, and it works, but I just didn't want to use that. I've also done Bioshock Infinite every time, and that had. So I didn't want to use that one either. So I used a boy in his blob because he's with you the entire time. Mm-hmm. God of War because your son's with you as well. Yeah. the other one was Jack and Daxter. Donkey Kong Country is you and Diddy.
Yeah.
Sonic 2 was you and Tails. And was there another one in there?
I'm sure there was.
That was 5.
Yeah.
Right? Why am I forgetting one?
I don't know.
Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah.
Yeah, Banjo-Kazooie.
Who's the companion in that?
I don't know. It's like the bear and then the bird, right?
Which one's which?
And I don't know anything about them. I never played it. It was like the bear and the bird. And then we've got one more track coming up, which I'm glad it was coming up last because it was not going to seal the deal. And it's a little bit sketchy of me using it.
Now I'm curious what it is.
Right?
I can't wait to hear it.
Well, in the game, you're constantly with your partner. But your partner, Titanfall 2.
Oh, it's an AI.
I know. But Titanfall 2 was the last one that we're going to use. So, STM Fuller, you got it right, man.
Yay!
Woo!
So, congratulations. You're on our Discord and stuff, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. I'll be in touch with you on our Discord, and I'll get you the certificate number so that you can use that to get your discount.
Sweet.
So, congratulations. So, what's on your mind?
Oh, I've been playing... I've been heavy into Spider-Man.
Isn't that great?
I don't want to spoil. It is a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and
don't spoil
I find myself. Well, I found myself looking at our plan and trying to get all of the different tokens and clearing the board off and stuff like that. And I think I'm about 50% away through the game.
Okay.
I the only reason. Use strategy guides anymore is kind of gauge where I'm at because the percentages on those things are usually based on how much crap you've collected.
Yeah.
I've just gotten to the challenge tokens.
Okay, I just did that today.
And
that's basically where I'm at.
Yeah, some of the, you know, I know like there's rough storyline progression to get to open that up, so I'm not going in more for Scott.
I appreciate that.
But some of those challenge tokens, I've had to redo them over and over and over. Like I haven't unlocked all three yet on any of the, you know. Some of
the best I've done is the best I've gotten is like the silver, and I don't know how.
Yeah.
How to do better than that?
I haven't gotten gold on them, and like I've tried a couple of the different challenges, and even those, like you know, I don't know if it's my time, I'm just too slow, or whatnot. And but some of those are just wow, these are really challenging.
I'm kind of hoping that I'm hoping that maybe it's something closer to the end where you unlock something to help you out a little bit more. But yeah. I'm not entirely sure.
Because, you know, some of the coins, the tokens that you can get them, you know, through different methods. It's not just, you know, I was thinking like the purple ones, you know, it's not just up in the city. You could, you know, also unlock some of those in Otto Octavius's lab. So I'm hoping something like that might go with the challenge coins where it's not just what I'm having to do now because, you know, I want to unlock all the suits. I want to unlock all the upgrades. I want to unlock all the gadgets, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I let myself be spoiled on the suits. More just interested in them to see what they are, where they came from, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and plus the powers are cool neat. Stuff. You know, I enjoy the powers on them.
Mm-hmm. No, there's... I used the first one an awful lot.
The white spider?
Like the very first one that you unlock that opens that allows you to pump your health back up.
Yes.
Because I'm
yes.
terrible at fighting.
I've used that one a lot myself. That's like kind of my go-to.
It plays like Arkham Asylum, except I don't know. Someone said it was more forgiving than Arkham, but I'm not entirely sure. I think it's less. I think it's way less forgiving.
It all depends on where you're at, because a lot of the times I've found, and again, I'm not very far into it, but I found that it depends on the environment that I'm in. Mm-hmm. What I've noticed with Spider-Man is that you need a lot of room to work with in combat.
Yeah, to maneuver, to dodge, to swing.
Close combat is... Close-up combat against multiple combatants is not your forte.
Especially the brutes.
Yes, because you want to... And aerial combat is better than anything else. First off, you want to get them into the air and stay in the air.
Juggle them.
To juggle the combo. And sometimes, most of the time, that's easy. But if I'm on a really narrow rooftop, I have some trouble there. If I'm in an alley that is also, again, my space is limited, then I also have some trouble there. What I've noticed is like some of the break-ins where they're in a jewelry store or something like that, that gives me a big area to work with the street. There's plenty of those things that I can swing around and smash, you know, manhole covers, trash cans, things like that. There's plenty of those that give me, but, I found that the smaller my environment is to work with in a combat situation, the worse it is for me to fight in. Yeah. Yes. Now
well,
it could get better with upgrades. I don't know.
And some of the gadgets as well.
Because maybe it takes instead of a combo of like six hits to take out a thug. Maybe as I up my power and stuff, maybe it only takes a few less.
Yeah.
And you know, I can deal with a thug faster.
It will. You
know?
I don't know.
I think that really the, what you're experiencing now, it doesn't, I mean, they throw wrinkles in for enemies and whatnot, but ultimately I think the fighting stays very similar throughout.
Yeah, because so far I've dealt with the guys with shields.
Yeah.
And
eventually you get to get upgrades to where you could deal with the shields better.
Okay.
You know, like you could swing into them.
Okay.
You know, we'll knock them out instead of having to, like, I guess go, I think what you,
you gotta,
go under
you
them.
You got to duck under them and hit them from behind because there's no shield. So, yeah.
And some of the gadgets that you get also for close environments, like the spider bomb, you know, works really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's like the second thing that you unlock.
Yeah.
The second suit to unlock.
Yeah, I've done that one. You know, like throw one of those into a, you know, a group of people in a closed environment and just sort of thump. So.
Oh wait, you know, you're talking about the spider bomb. I was thinking about the
suit unlock where you like jump up and spin around.
Yes.
That one, but that also could help out, you know, too. you know, in closer environments.
I'll have to wait and see as I upgrade everything to find out what works best for me. Mm-hmm. I know what works best for me now. And honestly, playing this way has actually kind of shown me a little bit more of like, okay, I need to put some of these points in this more mm-hmm. than I do this, because the big charging guys are giving me issues,
yes.
or something where I can web up more than one gun at a time, or something like that. You know, there's
they give me issues too.
Still. Yeah, well, I know, but
like
I'm
they'll
just
punch you down, and then as soon as you get up, they're punching you again, and like yeah. they juggle you and your.
I know, but again, it's telling me, it's showing me where I need to put more focus on my skill points.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Better health regeneration. Maybe that goes into better focus generation so that I can use that to build health.
I would definitely suggest the swing kick.
I've got that, yeah.
Up on a rooftop, I will swing kick people off roofs like no tomorrow.
Yeah. Are you able to fill up the entire trees of the con?
I'm guessing so.
Okay. I didn't know if you got to go through like a new game plus to do that or something.
I don't know. I haven't filled them up yet, mm-hmm. but I've gotten pretty far into it.
Yeah, I'm pretty close on all three trees.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I've still got stuff to do. Somewhere I read that the level grind was up to 50, so I would imagine that.
If I'm just in my 30s, then
I know, but I didn't know if it's one of those things where one playthrough only gets you this high in the game, and you've got to go through a second time, New Game Plus, to really unlock everything else.
I wouldn't think so.
If you look at Batman Arkham Knight,
mm-hmm.
I couldn't one playthrough of that thing. I still couldn't fill out everything on my powers, or on my abilities, or whatever the thing is. I still needed a bunch more. I do this all the time, man. Whenever they give me trees like this, especially when they can let me look and see how much each one costs, I go through and I add all that stuff up, and I know that hey, in order to max all this out, I need 100 and some odd skill points. So mm-hmm. let me look and make sure that I can do. Yeah, I'm very OCD about all that. Horribly
so.
You should
stop doing that. Stop. You should stop acting like that because you'll never finish the game.
I know. Hey, STM Fuller, we got to run, man. But I'm going to reach out to you on Discord and get your gift certificate. Okay.
Super. Thanks.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Bye. Have a good one.
You too. Mm, bye. Bye. Yeah, we got to run. I appreciate everybody for joining us in the chat room. I want to thank again Quality Comics for coming in today.
That was nice having company.
Yeah, Brent and Lee, I appreciate it. Jason back at the shop as well, if he's listening. I appreciate these guys believing in this show and the listeners of this show in order to actually sponsor it. So I do appreciate that. We all appreciate that here. So thank them very much for doing that. You can find them at QualityComics.com or at their Facebook page, Montgomery Quality Comics as well. And they've got an eBay store, so check all that out. And, hit us up on Facebook, hit them up on Facebook. They are completely able to answer any kind of questions you might have. So, we did not get to a couple of things and I want to save those for next week and we will. But thank you everybody. Yes, there is a Discord, AC Wraith. I would put a link in there right now, but I don't have that with me at the time. So I tell you what, hit me up on Steam, and I'll get you a link to our Discord. But yeah, thanks for everybody for joining us in the chat room. Thanks for everybody listening on the stream and on the radio as well. Thanks to everybody who grabs us each week from iTunes or however you get our show for later use. We appreciate it. Go to ingamechat.net and join us on Twitter, Facebook. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to our Twitch channel. If you're on Steam, join our Steam group. If you're on PS4, Xbox One, you can join our groups over there. If you're playing Destiny 2, join our clan. We do have a Discord, so yeah. And you can also there's the COG Discord as well. But I'll get you a link, AC Wraith. So have a great week, everybody, and we will see you next Saturday. Here is music from Titanfall 2.